Hallelujah. Well, before I start tonight, I'm going to share a little something. My wife is here with me. You didn't know that. Lisa, would you stand up? Come up for a minute. Come up here where everybody can see you. Right up here. Now, some of you ladies, last time I was here, you told me not to come back without her. I brought her. So all you ladies out there that said that, give her a big hug, okay? All right. Now, I made it back in the same year. Now, that's pretty good for me, you know. That's not bad. I know it's been since June. It's been a little while. But we had a good time then, didn't we? Thank you. You want to say something? Okay. Does any of these work, or you just want me to use this? Here, just stand up close.
Well, I'm very glad to be here and to meet everybody. I've heard lots of good things about all of you, and I've been anxious to meet everybody. And so thank you for all your welcome, and I'm looking forward to this time.
Amen. And thank you all. I know my father wasn't well last time I was here, or he was beginning to decline when I was here, and he actually was getting better for a while. But he went home to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. And I thank all of you that prayed. And one of my prayers was that I'd see him again, you know, for a little while before he passed. And I was able to spend a couple of weeks with him. And I was so thankful I did that, and so thankful that the Lord opened that opportunity, because he still was in his good mind. And I was able to, you know, talk with him. And hallelujah, it's hard to get sad when you know where somebody is. It really is sometimes. I know we grieve in our natural selves and for ourselves, but they're better place. Amen. Didn't Paul say, for me to, if I stay here, he said, I'm betwixt between two. I'm struggling between two opinions. I want to leave and go home and be with Jesus, which is far better. But it's needful for you that I stay, and it's more beneficial for you if I stay and teach you the Word of God. He was talking to the Philippian church, wouldn't he? Amen. But that's something that's there, and we're always grateful when our family members know Jesus. That's the most important thing. Amen. Sometimes people pass, and maybe you've had a family member pass, and you're not sure. Well, we still trust God. Amen. I prayed for some family members that I wasn't sure, but I know that I had an uncle that I've been praying for quite a while, and then he had a terrible stroke. I mean, very bad. He wasn't found for about 4 hours and never really came fully out of that. But I've been praying, and I said, Lord, there's got to be an open door somewhere so somebody can touch him. But there were times, you know, when they really talked to him, he would sing from his childhood, Jesus loves me, and remember the things of God, you know, right there at the first. I just have to trust that, you know, the Lord, sometimes we don't know what everybody can think in those situations, or how, you know, they knew he was thinking and he understood, but he couldn't communicate. You know, his communication was gone because of the stroke pretty much. And I just have to trust God that he's going to be in heaven, because I prayed. Sometimes we don't always see in this life everything that we prayed for come to pass. We don't see it here. We don't know it. He said, well, I would like to know everything, but sometimes God doesn't show us. He just doesn't. And some things are hidden from us. You know, everybody says, well, why? Because he wants us to trust him. He wants us to believe that what we prayed, when it was his perfect will, maybe we prayed in tongues over them. We prayed what we knew in our understanding. We begin to stand, and we're calling them saved, and we believe, and we don't really know sometimes what happened at that last moment. Amen. You know, it only takes a moment. He said, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, save me. Whew. They may have been gone. So let's not give up. Let's believe that God is working with all of our prayers. I have an uncle that was, but anyway, thank you for praying for my dad. I was so thankful. But I had an uncle that was real sick at one time in Holland. He lived in Holland. And I had no idea, you know, what God was doing, because I didn't hear anything. He's in Holland, I'm here, but I would just praise the Lord, send labors. I thank you for healing him. I knew that he knew the Lord, but, you know, they didn't know much about healing. And I'm asking the Lord, and I found out later through my dad, he had talked to him, that God had sent a spirit-filled man to his bedside at that hospital every single day. Every day. He was going to him and showing him the Word of God. And he had had to go on to dialysis, and they thought he was going to die. And he came off the dialysis and was totally cured. And for 5 more years he lived. It was almost like a grace time. That sometimes it seems to be, I don't know why, but it's like a grace that God gives us to strengthen our own faith. And if we don't, sometimes things can come back on us and kill us, you know. But a lot of times I've seen that happen sometimes in people's life where they'll get a miracle. But you know what? We've got to get the Word of God on the inside of ourselves. Amen. Sometimes we want that miracle right now. But if we continue in the Word of God, God's Word cannot fail. Amen. When we believe, when we use our faith, when we allow it to rise, when we let our spirit man become the ascendancy, it is more real to us than the natural man. I know in my own life, when I begin to allow my spirit to begin to be built up, the natural things, you know, yeah, we got to do them, but they become less and less important. Amen? They become less and less a part of our lives. We're like, I remember one time I wanted to hurry up. You know, I'd been praying at the church and I thought, man, I got to go to the bank. I'm going to go to the bank right over here. It's real quick, you know, but in my spirit, my spirit was telling me I needs go through Walmart Bank, the one that's at Walmart, the busy one. And so I went to that bank and I'm like, I know there's a reason you're sending me here, Lord. I don't know what it is, but I know there's a reason. So I'm just kind of praying and out there. I'm walking through the parking lot and I hear this real loud music. I mean, very loud. Not godly music, ungodly music. You know, not like just terribly ungodly, but more, I don't know why I'm getting all these, but praise the Lord. Anyway, very ungodly music. And so I've been praying and I hear this and I'm drawn to it for some reason. I said, Lord, I got to go talk to this guy. And sure enough, there's a young man sitting in the car and there's a little girl in the back seat and I'm talking to him about the Lord. I just felt led to talk to him. And I said, all right. And I mean, I'm not saying that's every day or all the time, but often, you know, if we're praying and we're living with God, we're to be a testimony. Amen. We didn't get born again just to go to heaven. Hallelujah. We want to see some people go with us. And when we're praying, we become that testimony too. 99% of it is if we live a godly life, a holy life, we already are a testimony. Amen. Because people know, you know, well, how come you're not having a drink at the Christmas party? Well, I just don't drink. You know, I don't. You don't? Not at all? I said, well, no. No, I don't. I know Jesus is Lord. I know that wine can mock him. Amen. If I drink too much, you know. Now, granted, I know what the Bible says. If people want to drink a little bit of wine, it's all right. But most people do that. And that's how alcoholics get started. They drink a little. Well, it never starts. Sin doesn't ever start with just a lot, does it? You don't just go off into a wild lifestyle. Hallelujah. I hope I'm not just rambling all over the place, but these stories are coming up in my spirit here. Anyway, I went to this guy and went to the door and I began to talk to him and he says he's born again. I said, oh, that's wonderful. That's great. You know, but I got this problem. I've got this girl and blah, 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 and they got the problem. Terrible problem. I said, well, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, no, I'm not. But I heard I could be. I said, you have. Well, would you like to receive him now? Yes, I would. How many like that kind of supernatural God kind of invitation? I said, well, I'm going to pray for you right now and you're going to pray in tongues. Now we also had, I forget what they call it. What do they call it when you shout out wrong things, honey? Like bad. Oh, well, what's the? Tourette's, yeah. The simple name is what I'm looking for. My wife has given me the technical name. I'm looking for the simple name, baby. I'm not as, I don't know. I wouldn't know exactly what that meant, honey. Sorry. But Tourette's, yeah. You know, where they kind of, you know, they'll jerk or they'll say things off, you know. Now, God didn't give him a total miracle, but he filled him with the Holy Ghost right there and then, began to pray in other tongues. Hallelujah. And started him on a path and a walk with God that could change him. Amen. How many know that the Holy Spirit wants to take us from where we may be right now to where he wants us? How many believe he knows the plan of God for our life and he knows how to get us there? Amen. When we don't know, when we're not sure, when we have no idea, when we're not confident, we can take the Holy Ghost at his word, God at his word. And the Bible says when you begin to pray in other tongues, we pray the mind of God, the very plan of God out for our lives. And that plan is going to come to pass. It's a prayer that will be answered and it's going to come back to you in the form of understanding. And it's going to begin to grow down on your spirit. And it's going to get bigger, not smaller. The more you pray on it, the more you're going to see. Amen? The more you're going to understand the plan of God for your life. Because praying in tongues is a supernatural gift. It's not coming from our mind. It's not coming from our body, is it? It's not just our body praying. It's not our mind praying. It's our spirit. The very spirit of you. The part of you that was born again. The part of you that knows God. The part of you that received Jesus as Lord and was changed from darkness to light, translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Amen? Hallelujah. That spirit that's on the inside of us that began to know him is alive to him. It knows right and wrong. It was born spiritually alive. The moment we're born again, we receive. The Bible says, his laws are written where? On our heart, aren't they? They're written right there. We know right from wrong. Amen. We know when he says no. We know when he says yes. That part of it's clear concerning sin, concerning walking in righteousness, concerning doing the right thing. We can follow that. And if we'll follow that, we'll be right. Everybody says, well, why didn't you follow that last time? Well, what makes you think I didn't, you know? He said, you may think you sound like I'm talking from experience, but how many have ever not followed it? Down on the inside, you knew what was right and you did what was wrong. Well, I did it for the same reason you did. Because we wanted to. We chose to. But how many know we got a place to go, amen, in the Word of God? And we know that 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sin, isn't he faithful? Isn't he just to forgive us? Amen. Well, glory to God. Glory to God. Let's open our Bibles tonight. Let's go to Proverbs. Let's go to Romans 8 first. Sorry. Let's go to Romans 8 first. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is good news. Amen. I am so excited tonight. I don't know. I was really getting excited during the worship tonight. I thought, wow. And meditating the word this afternoon a little bit after I got up from a little, you know, had a little nap. Yeah. Praise the Lord. A little rest. Hallelujah. But when we begin to understand that our spirit is alive unto God and we are a spirit, how many know that sometimes we're not as spirit conscious as we should be? Anybody out there? You're not as conscious of our spirit as we should be. Maybe sometimes we're more body conscious. Your body's telling you what to do. And I'm not talking about saying, oh Lord, should I go to the grocery store? If you're out of groceries, go get some, okay? I'm just talking about we're more natural conscious. We're more conscious about what our body's telling us than what our spirit. How many know that the Bible says that by his stripes you were healed? Amen. Or sometimes we get more mental conscious, don't we? We start reasoning with our mind. Our mind wants to tell us what to do. And a lot of Christians live there. Many do. They don't ever get over into the place where their spirit becomes more real and more powerful and more, you know, where they're really living by that more than they are what they feel. See, a lot of us want to live how we feel. That's a good word, isn't it? Uh-oh, we hit home there, didn't we? How many ever live how you feel? I don't feel like going to church tonight. I think I'll just stay home. I don't feel. And I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong. I mean, maybe you worked extra hard. Maybe you're way overtired and you need to stay home. I remember one time I went to church and I was kind of dozing off and the pastor came up and he says, you know, if you're that tired, you should stay home. You know, I said, yeah, I probably should, you know, but we also want to follow our heart. We want to follow what God's saying. So we got to be more aware of that spirit than we are of the mind and the body. Amen. And what we see, what we taste, what we touch, what we feel, you know, those are our senses, our physical senses. Amen. Let's see, touch, taste, hear, feel, especially what we feel, you know. I don't feel like it. You know, sometimes I don't feel like going to work, you know. Any of you ever not felt like going to work? You know, you woke up. I was thinking the other day, I said, I wonder why my boss, just you'd think maybe once in a while, would just give me a call and say, don't come in today. We'll pay you anyway. Don't worry about it. Just take the day off, you know. And that'd be nice. But they can't, you know. We know that. Why? Because we have responsibilities and they're running a business and they have people that they're trying to serve and they need you. You're feeling a need. So, well, me? Yeah, you. You know, you're feeling a need or you're feeling a service or you're doing something worthwhile for somebody. You're helping someone, aren't you? And when we rely on the Holy Spirit, He begins to help us, doesn't He? We begin to lean on Him. We begin to acknowledge. And if we begin to say more and more with our mouth, I'm born of the Spirit of God. I'm a child of God. I am a spirit. That's who I really am, the real me, the inner man, the Bible says, or the, you know, some of those things. So let's look here at Romans 8. I want to look at three verses and then I'll kind of make some point, not here, yeah, a couple of verses here and then we'll look at a few other verses here. All right. I hope all this comes together, which it will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 14. Says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. And here he's talking about that, really talking about that nature on the inside of you, the spirit of you that was born again, the part of you that was born again. If you can realize that you can, everybody say, I can be led by that spirit, by the new nature that's in me. That's the same thing. The same kind of spirit that Jesus has is in you when you were born again. Now, you guys may have heard all these things. If I get to something, just wave at me and say, Brother Doug, we know. But you know what? How many know? Sometimes it's good to be in remembrance of some things. Amen. Because we want, my point is, we want to keep in contact in our mind and in our being. I am a spirit. I don't live out of my feelings. I don't live just out of my mind. I know we have to have our mind. You know, we've got to contact this world and have intellectual interaction with people. You know, we're not just spirit. But our spirit has to come first. And sometimes we neglect the spirit, don't we? Or people do, Christians. Sometimes we neglect that spirit. And as I was saying earlier, when we're praying in tongues, that helps us be more aware of that spirit in us, doesn't it? It begins to cause it to enlighten. It begins to bring light to us. It brings understanding to us and makes us more aware that, hey, I am a spirit. Now, I have a mind, a will, an emotion. I have a soul. I live in this earth suit, this body. Amen? Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's what I'm saying. We that are led by the Spirit of God, we can be led by Him. Verse 16 says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit, He comes and bears witness with us that we're born again. He makes it known to us. How many people have received Jesus and you know that you're born again and the Holy Spirit has witnessed to you that you know Jesus? Amen. Everybody says, why is that important? Because I'm trying to get us to see that our spirit is number one in our life. Our spirit is not born full grown. It's not. That has all the parts. You know, Paul likens it to a baby, you know, if now if I have a baby here, that baby is totally complete, isn't it? Isn't that baby complete? It's got all the parts. It's got everything, doesn't it? You know, he's full grown, you know, but I don't set the baby down and say, now walk. Go ahead. No, why? He's not mature to walk. He's got all the parts. He's got everything. He's fully mature, fully formed, but he's not full grown, is he? He's not like you and I. There comes a time for all of that, doesn't it? In process, he begins to grow, and as he grows, he begins to mature. And pretty soon, you know, oh, look at him, he's getting up. You know, and he begins to walk. And that child begins to move. And that child begins to learn to talk. The child begins to learn to communicate. The child begins to learn to what? Understand. And pretty soon they're going to school and they're learning more. And don't you require a little bit more when they start going to school? You don't want to be changing their diaper, do you? You know? Especially if they get up there in third or fourth grade, you know? Hallelujah. I failed kindergarten, so pray for me. That's a real truth. Maybe I'll talk about that sometime. But I did graduate high school finally. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to, I don't know why I said that. I'm trying to relax. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. I hope this is all right. Am I making sense to anybody? Hallelujah. I know it's really, I'm kind of laying a little bit of a foundation. I hope we can go a little bit further and more. If I go a little bit slow tonight, just bear with us and we're going to get a hold of this. I don't want to preach super long or anything or hold you till midnight, you know. I know some of you people work today and you're tired and all those things. And I think about that sometimes, you know. I think it's important. You know, and some of you have family. You know, your husband's working now, you know. So praise the Lord, he's working. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's good. God's good. It's good to have a job. You know, I work part-time at least, you know, 30 to 40, about 48 hours a week, sometimes 60. So it just depends on what God's got going that week. But hallelujah. It helps me to be able to get out and preach and minister. Amen. You know, and to help other people. But anyway, I don't know why I said all that, but it's good to have a job. It really is. I mean, I'm thankful that God has given me the jobs He has. I've tried to change a job just recently. I've been praying about the job I have. I said, Lord, I can make more money, a little more over there, you know. The Lord said, you've changed enough jobs, stay where you are. So I thought, you know, as great as I am, following my spirit, you know, that was good. You know, that's what I sensed, that's what I knew in my spirit. I thought, Lord, I'm just going to, you know, so I got quiet. I'm praying about it a little bit more. And the Lord knows what you're thinking, you know, before you even pray, you know. And so I'm praying about it some more. I thought, well, Lord, this would help me get some more money in, Lord, and get some things done a little faster. But he says no. So I thought, well, I'll pray about it just once more. Would I dare, Lord, pray, you know, anybody ever tried to change God's mind? Hallelujah. Amen. See what I'm saying? Living in the reasoning, the mind. I was living up here, wasn't I? Thinking about it instead of just praying it out. I was trying to think it out and make a way or find a way that I could fix it. You see, if I try to fix it, then God's not fixing it, is he? unless he's saying. Now there's a balance. That's what I'm trying to get at, you know. There's a balance. We all need to work, but we also need to follow him in that, you know. I mean, he may have you work 20 hours a week. Why? So you could pray more. If that's enough for you to get by on, you're taking care of yourself. Now, if you're living on somebody else, you know, at somebody else's expense, the Bible says that's stealing. You know, we can see that over in Ephesians 8. He that steal, let him steal no more. Don't be living on everybody else. You know, take care of yourself. But if all your needs are being met and you're, you know, paying everything on time and you're taking care of yourself, I mean, I'm not saying God might not, but then again, he might want you to work more. You know, there was a time in my life he wanted me to work a lot. I was working 60 or 80 hours a week. You know, it wasn't forever, but for about 9 or 10 months, that's what I did. And I had 2 jobs. And I was preaching. Sometimes I'd get off work at 8 o'clock in the morning, change my shirt, jump in my truck, run down to the church, and at 8:30 I was preaching. You said, what? Did you tell him that? No, never said a word about it. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying sometimes we have to follow that leading. We have to follow that, and we can do that. Because the spirit of man is what? The candle of the Lord. I'm getting ready to read that right here. Proverbs 20, 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. We might say, one translation says that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Or in our day, we might say it's the light bulb of the Lord. You know, it's that light on the inside of us, the spirit of man. It's the part of us in which we reach God, which we can talk to him, where he enlightens us. You know, he's going to guide us, not through our mind, not through our body. How many knows if it was in your mind, you'd already done it? Amen? It's not in our mind. It's in our spirit. Amen. And however, sometimes we seek guidance other than the ways that God has set. Amen. Like I was talking about, with our mind, with our body. And that's what gets us into trouble sometimes. Amen. We're not listening to the Spirit. We want to be more spirit conscious. All right. So sometimes we fall into the traps, which I've already mentioned. We fall into the trap of, number one, the physical senses. If you take a note, you can put that down. Physical senses. We sometimes judge God is leading us by what our physical senses tell us. But we can't find anywhere, if you can find it, you show me, but we can't find anywhere in the Bible where God says that he guides us through our physical senses. What we feel, taste, touch, smell, hear, he's not guiding us that way, amen? That's out. Number two, some of the traps, another trap that we sometimes fall into, as I've already mentioned this, we let our reasoning, too often we look at things from a mental standpoint and endeavor to reason out things. I was trying to reason out my job, how I can fix it. See, how I can change my situation. Yeah, but I don't like this situation. I don't like this job. I don't think it's good for me. I'm not, you know, you don't understand. Everybody's unsaved around me, some people will say. Well, praise God. You have a wonderful opportunity to be the light of the world right where you are. See, that's being spirit conscious. When we're conscious of souls, we're conscious of other people around us. We become conscious of what God's conscious about. What is he thinking about? He said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. If God set you at a job for 40 years or or set you at a house next to somebody. I've got two terribly sinner neighbors. You know, we're praying for everybody. We pray for the world. Oh, Lord, we pray for Africa. We pray for, you know, the world, Lord. Oh, help the world. And God's saying, would you pray for your neighbor? Neighbor. Who's my, oh, that must be their last name. Yeah. My neighbor, Lord, or my neighborhood, you know. Oh, you want me to pray around my neighborhood. Oh, you want me to start praying around my neighborhood. Oh, yes, I'd like you to take a walk because you could lose a few pounds anyway. I want you to start walking around your neighborhood and praying. Pray for all your neighbors. Sometimes we forget that Jesus said, you know, I'm going to send you in all the world. But he said, what, first we're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, right there home. If we're not being a witness where we are, why do we want to go to the next step? You know, and eventually we do want to hit the whole world. But if we're not being a witness where we are, how are we going to affect the world? You see, my philosophy has always been, if I'm not going to shine where I am, what business do I need to go somewhere else? I don't have any. I have no business. Really, I mean, I'm not saying that God couldn't lead you somewhere else. Or, you know, I'm not saying that at all. But if you're not really shining where you are, if you're not doing something where you are, you know, serving him in some capacity, keep praying. Find out what he might want you to do while you're praying. I'm not telling you to stop praying. I'm just saying, Lord, he didn't save us just to pray. He saved us to pray, but in the prayer, we should be getting a little direction. You know, I mean, I remember when the Lord told me to be in the outreach and he told me to get my license to drive the bus. I'm thinking, boy, this is a great ministry. You know? Oh, I get to drive the bus, you know. And so that was kind of my first job anyway, driving the bus, the outreach. Who are you bringing in? The homeless. They stink. Sorry, but I'm not being mean. It just was so. I mean, you've got the Lysol. I mean, you know, yeah, you got the windows down, but boy, you know, and we had some of the older guys, you know, that were just, you know, sometimes they were filled with urine. Or one guy would, oh, bless his heart, he'd be higher than a kite. He would use spray paint all the time. His face would just be gold from all the paint he'd inhaled. And we'd go down to the place where a lot of them were and put them on the bus. But I began to take ownership of what the Lord wanted me to do because he told me to do it. See, I'm not doing it. I know, I understand. Somebody's in charge of that, you know, but I was doing the bus. I'm supposed to drive it. I'm supposed to take care of it. That means I got to get there at 7 o'clock so we can leave at 7:30 so we can pick everybody up and get back before 10. Okay. And then sometimes it wasn't always perfect because some people would call and, you know, how many know sometimes you're getting things and maybe you're not the one that's fully in charge and everything isn't always perfect. It doesn't run as smoothly as you wanted it to, you know. Well, they told them to be ready at 9 and you're coming at 8:30, you know, because you want to get back before 10. So, you know, you're driving back and it's 10:50. How come you weren't here, Ken? Blah, 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 blah. You know, they weren't yelling at you, but, you know, they want to ask. They want to know, you know, we're trying to start on time and. But we get back pretty much on time most of the time because sometimes, how many know when you're talking about homeless people or people that would get off, then we'd have people that got off out of homelessness, you know, and then you got to pick them up their house. They still don't have a vehicle or their apartment. I should sit most of the time, you know, and then times you get there, well, we're almost ready. We're coming, you know. Well, if you got that 5 minutes times 5 minutes times 5 minutes, you know, that's 15 minutes, you know. Well, you should have left earlier. You know? Well, I didn't know they weren't going to be ready, you know, or almost ready. And you're not trying to be mean. I'm not saying that you just wait on everybody. There were times when, you know, there comes a time when they're not ready. We're not going to pick you up this week. You know, come next week. So, but we get probably about 30 or 40 of those people Boy, I'm telling a lot of stories tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm a good storyteller. But so I'd be driving the bus. The Lord had told me to get my bus license. I kind of got it to help drive a school bus. You know, I thought I was going to be driving the school bus, and I did for a few months, but that was it. You know, then I was part of the outreach, and the Lord told me to do that. And we did that for many years, long time, several years. And we're busing in those homeless, and I'd go down and get them. I began to get excited. You know why? I'd be the first one to hear the testimonies. Anybody that got touched, I heard it first. I'd just start getting excited. Hallelujah. I got to rejoice with them first. I thought, isn't that neat? God, you know, it looks like I'm first and last. See, I'd have to get there before everybody went home. See, because sometimes we'd be kind of long because we would take them afterwards. And Pastor Barbara and other people would kind of counsel with them. And we were giving out things to people, and sometimes it did get kind of long. And then some of them would be saying, well, we're ready to go back. I said, me too. I'm ready to go home too. You know, they didn't know I was there at 7:30. They didn't think about that, you know. But I said, yeah, I'm ready to go too. Praise the Lord. We'll be going soon, you know. And we did. It wasn't, you know, super drawn out. But some of those things, sometimes how many knows that sometimes you get to talking to people and there's certain needs and they pray with them. And sometimes you got to do a little deliverance or something like that. And they might call you all in. I remember one time I went and picked everybody up and I was preaching that day. Boy, you talk about a little nerve. I thought, boy, I better preach good if you let me have it on the way back, you know. Hallelujah. So anyway, it was a good time and it began to be fun. And I, you know, and you see people, it was also somewhat spiritually difficult because we didn't have places to put them and, you know, and you feel like you're picking them up and taking them back to a very difficult environment. But how many know if you have a plant, this is something that the Lord showed me. You got a plant, and let's say you put it in the closet, okay? But a couple times a week, once a week, you bring it out, give it some water, and it just barely stays alive. It's enough, you know, you give it some light, and you put some water in it, and you kind of care for it. You can still give it life, amen? It can still stay alive. Till God, and God would work, and we would use different things, and we did get people, see people come off the street, and we did see people get born again, and sometimes, you know, their life was saved. You know, I know one guy got on, and, you know, the very first service, he got a miracle in his body. Very first service. He was totally healed, had sciatica in his body, never had that problem since. And still comes to the church. You know, we don't have a lot of those. I mean, it's, you know, when you're dealing with homeless people, sometimes it's, you know, it's receiving and saying, Lord, we're after all, but sometimes you get one or two or a few, and God's interested in that one. Amen. He's interested in those that follow him. And if they'll get a hold of this message, praying in other tongues, you know, and learning to live out of their spirit and not out of their body, not of the mind. Everybody says, well, how does that happen? That's what we're talking about. I know I'm going real slow here right now because I keep getting into these stories, but I'm following him. I am following you, Lord. I know we are. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Thank you, Father. So we were talking about that. We don't want to get too much into the reasoning. Amen. I'm not saying we don't think about things. We meditate on the Word of God and we think about what God wants us to do. And when He says, you know, that's what we want to meditate on. But sometimes there's situations we can't fix. If we could fix it, if we knew the answer, if it was up here, we'd already done it. Everybody says, well, I don't think I need any help. Well, you know, you don't seem to have been able to fix it yet. You know, I had a good friend of mine and he got on into doing alcohol and drugs, you know. And we talked and I said, well, maybe you need to get some help. You know, you're not seem to be making it on your own, you know. Well, I'm praying some and I'm, you know, but how many know sometimes when you're in a very difficult situation, you have to get out of that situation and get yourself real help. And he needed to get out and get into a place where he's at a rehab and he's living there and did live there. Praise the Lord. He made a choice. And I'm very proud of him. I said, I'm proud of you, brother. You made the choice. You chose to face your difficulty or your battle, the battle that the enemy was bringing to you. And you chose to face it head on. And sometimes we're in a battle in life. When we choose to face that battle head on with God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. More than conquerors. We're not just conquerors. We can conquer that thing. And whatever you're facing, whatever we face in our life, whatever difficulty or trial, whether it's financial, whether it's in a relationship problem, whether it's our own, we just can't get it done for some reason. We can't beat it. I keep falling to this thing, or I keep doing this thing, or I just can't get organized, or whatever it is. The Holy Spirit will take hold together with us, with that nature that's on the inside of us. And He will strengthen us until we are up above that thing, stronger than the things that are coming against us. And He will cause us to exit out of our lives. If we'll be consistent. See, it's not always, praying. It is good to pray hours and a long time. It's good to keep praying, but it's not just about the praying a lot of hours. It's about following Him. See, the whole point of the prayer is because what? We want to know the plan. I remember praying. I had been praying quite a few hours, but the Lord told me, He said, I hadn't gotten married yet, but I was praying, and Lisa was my fiance. And He said, I want you to go home. She needs you now. She needs you now. I want you to go. So I went to go find her. I couldn't find her. I didn't know where she was. So I finally went home in about 15 minutes. Here she comes knocking on the door. No, this was before the days of cell phones, okay? Which you may not know anything about, But anyway, and the Holy Spirit knew that. Isn't that amazing? He knew it. And I said, wow, I just got home. I've been home 15 minutes. That's it. I should go home. I was kind of looking for her because I knew she needed me for something. She was just facing a crisis. She'd had a guy before, and he was sure he's still supposed to marry her, and she was upset, and he's bothering her, and, he was sure we weren't supposed to get married, and he was still supposed to marry her, and so it's kind of one of those things. And so he would see us, and he would follow us around a little, not so much, but I mean, if we went to a concert, remember, that he went to, and he's watching us, and he's sure he's still supposed to marry her, And he never did marry her, praise the Lord. We love him, but, he finally got over her. Thank you, Jesus, Hallelujah. But you just pray for people like that, and sometimes things like that happen, but she needed me at that moment. It was bothering her. She was upset, and the Lord knew that little, seems like a little thing. I could have talked to her later, maybe, right? Well, you'd have found out eventually. Yeah. The Lord wanted me there then, when she came. It was important to Him. That's His daughter. It's not my wife. It's not just my wife. It is, but that's His daughter first. I've got to let her be His daughter. Amen. I think I ought to do what He wants. See, I'm not saying I've been perfect in following my Spirit every time. I've made mistakes in different areas at different times. Because I got into reasoning, or I got into this is just a sure thing. How many ever know those sure things? You ever hear about a sure thing? Hallelujah. Yeah, I've heard about a sure thing. All right. It's a sure thing that I was going to be taken for all the money that I had put in. And maybe a little bit more. Because I had to pay a little money to get out. This is a, I don't know if they sell those here, but in the U.S. they sell timeshares, People get into those timeshares. Well, you're going to take a vacation anyway. I was so happy. I was so proud of my wife, because we got this thing. And you get free nights, but then you got to go to the spiel for 4 hours. And, oh, Lord. you almost like wore out after that, you know. And so they're working it over, and she's like acting, she's so interested in this and that, you know, and they could tell I wasn't that interested. So they're talking to her, wouldn't you like to sign, ma'am? Aren't you ready to get this, you know? And she looks straight in the eye and she says, no, I'm not interested at all. You know? She says, I think it's fascinating, but I'm not interested at all. He was so, I could see their countenance, you know. Oh, I thought I had it, you know. I was sure this was it, you know. And then they bring a different salesman out there. And then they bring somebody over. Oh, this is a sure thing, you know. But how many know you got to be real careful when you talk about $20,000, $30,000? Amen, you know. And then they sell the same thing to somebody else, and you're supposed to be able to swap. And I thought, man, that sounds like a lot of work to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But anyway, so we were talking about reasoning, and I got off on talking about the Holy Spirit guiding us through that nature that's alive. And thirdly, the body is not the candle of the Lord, is it? We're talking about some things that it's not. That's not the Spirit of the Lord. Come on down. Come on down. Hallelujah. Don't be embarrassed. Come on in. Good to see y'all. I'm glad you made it. Praise the Lord. You're not too late. Glory to God. Amen. The body is not the candle of the Lord. So he said what? It's not our physical senses. These are some traps that we can fall into. Our physical senses, or following the reasoning, or following maybe the body, right? It's not. It says the spirit of man. The spirit of man here in Proverbs 20:27 is where we are right now. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly, or the lamp of the Lord, the light of the Lord. Amen. How many know when Jesus came in, he caused us to be alive to him? All right. So we see there, those are some of the traps right there that sometimes we can fall into when we're not really listening as closely as we should to that knowing on the inside of us. And I just want us to continue to remember that we are, number one, we're a spirit. Amen. Thessalonians. Let's go there for a minute. Chapter 5. I think it's verse 23. I'll check up there in a minute if I need to. 1 Thessalonians, or just a minute. I don't want to say it until I better look it up here real quick. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Yes, I was correct. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, or entirely, or completely, right? And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, faithful is he that calls you, also will do it. So we want to see that our, you know, that's what we are, right? Our whole spirit, the spiritual part of us, the part of us that was born again to God. Our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless before God. Now I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but that's okay. Because I could be here all night. We'll see how far we get tonight. But I'm moving over here. So when we see that and we understand that we are spirit, amen, we're an eternal spiritual being, aren't we? And with that spirit, we're contacting the spiritual realm with our mind, and we're contacting the intellectual realm, right? Spirit, our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect. We talk to one another. We communicate with other people. And then with our body, you know, that's our earth suit that has to keep us here. If we don't have that body, we put off the body, we're with the Lord. That's what Paul said, wasn't it, in Philippians. And we'll see that there. Let's turn over there real quick to Philippians chapter 1. Well, no, let's go to... It's not what I was looking for, really, but Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Philippians 1, 23. Sorry about that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. I'm not trying to. I know I'm going pretty slow tonight, but I've been getting off on a lot of little rabbit trails, but sometimes they help us. Amen. How many knows when we see an example, all of a sudden the window kind of opens up and we can see some things. Amen. 1:23, for I am in strait, talk about this, between two things, he's saying, betwixt two. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Hallelujah. So Paul's going to live, isn't he? He said, I'm going to live no matter what. Whether I leave this body, if I stay here in this body, I'm going to live. Or if I go on to heaven, I'm going to live. And he's not talking about his earth suit, just, you know, he's talking about dying physically to his body, but he's talking about the real me. That spirit man on the inside of me is going to be alive forever. How many know we're going to live forever? Everybody's going to live forever. Because everybody has a spirit. Some are spiritually dead. See, there's only two kinds of people in the world. Okay? Those that are alive to God and those that are not alive to God. They're dead. Spiritually. In other words, the Bible calls it death. Spiritual death is what they live in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all right. Hallelujah. And that spiritual death has a wage. And that wage is sin or separation from God for all eternity. For all eternity, separated from God in hell, right? It's either you're going to make it to heaven because you received Jesus, or those that are spiritually dead, I think we've lost the word in the church sometimes, but they go to hell. That's why we want to pray. That's why we want to seek God. That's why we want to get his heart for the lost, like a lot of you have. Hallelujah. I hear you've been praying for the lost. And that's awesome. That's what he wants. That's his heart. It's his desire that none would be lost, but that all would come to repentance. That's what I'm saying. When we become more conscious of what God's conscious about, we're going to be following our spirit. Well, how do we know what he's really conscious about? What tells us? His word, doesn't it? The Bible, number one. That's the first thing. And when you do get something from God, you want to make sure it's not something squirrely outside of what the Bible says. I know some people says, well, I know you believe the Bible, brother, but this is way beyond that. Well, you're way beyond God. You're somewhere far off. You better start praying in tongues because the Holy Ghost still knows where you are, where you're not in the plan of God for your life, and he knows how to get you there. The Holy Spirit will help you. He also takes hold together with what? That nature, that alive spirit that's already on the inside of you. And he begins to intercede for you according to the will of God for you. Yeah, but I already know some things. Well, if he showed you, write it down. Do those things. Do the first things. And do what the Bible says. You know, we got enough right here in the Bible to last us a lifetime. Many instructions in here. You know, he says what? Pray for our enemies. How many have any enemies? You may not have enemies, but you have, maybe you got somebody that comes against you or somebody that rubs you the wrong way. You know, every time you hear their name, oh God, you know, help me love them, Jesus. They're coming again. You know, how many, they're calling on the phone, you know. So you come up with something like, No, tonight wouldn't be a good night. I got plans, you know, and you call your friend. You invite me over. You remember that dinner you promised me? Tonight's a good night. Okay. You know, so you know, or at least you tricked yourself into thinking you're not lying, you know, because your intent was to deceive them, you know. Instead of just saying, well, I'm sorry, but I really don't want to go with you or be with you. You know, it scares us. Why? Because we don't like rejection. I don't like to be rejected. But God has separated me at times from certain people. You know, not because He doesn't love them or not because I may even like them. But they're not really pursuing God like I want to pursue God. They want to do their own thing. And they want God to bless what their mind came up with or what their reasoning came up with. And I'm not condemning them. That's their walk with God. But we want to follow what God is leading us to do and into the very mind of Christ for your life. How many know as long as we're breathing, it's not too late. We're not too old. You're not too young. I know somebody that got born again at 7 years old and started following the voice of God. 8 or 9, spending nights sitting out in the tree, praying, talking to God. Didn't even pray in tongues, this boy. His mother would call out, "Now you stay awake out there, don't fall out of that tree." You know, she'd let him pray. He talked to the Lord all night, see the stars, talk to the Lord. God would talk to him, tell him things to do. Won a lot of his friends to the Lord. Amen. When finally went into the ministry, his whole life, following that new nature on the inside, letting the Holy Spirit teach and guide. Sometimes our steps seem so unordered, but he said the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And if we'll take that to heart, say, "Lord, I believe my steps are ordered of you." Yeah, but I missed it 20 times. I don't care how many times I've missed it. I said, my steps are ordered of the Lord. I hear the voice of the good shepherd, the voice of a stranger I do not follow. Yeah, but what about the last time? I thought you were going to Mississippi. Well, if it's not God and you find out, stop. Go back to where you left off. You see, a lot of times we misquote the scripture. We say, he left his first love. You know? It says, you left your first love. It doesn't say lost. Sometimes we say, he lost his first love. Oh, I lost my first. No, you didn't lose it. You left it. You left it, the Bible says. That's what Jesus said to the, in chapter 3 of Revelation to the church. He says, you have left your first love. You didn't lose it. You left it. Go back where you left it. Amen. Yeah, but that was, I'm not sure where I left it. Keep praying in tongues. He'll show you. You'll get there. Amen. And sometimes you get back. I can't fix it. I can't fix it, Lord. not what I do. Keep praying. Keep praying. I've got a mind for you. I've got a plan for you. Don't stop. Be consistent. I didn't say you have to pray 50 hours a week, but you could. It'd be good. It'll help. Sometimes it's good to have a long stretch. I like to take my Saturday morning, and I don't tell everybody, I like to get there a little early, you know, and get at least a good hour on my own, you know, just me and God, you know. But if I open it for prayer and several people come, because sometimes you call a prayer meeting and sometimes people want to talk. And we should fellowship, and it's good, and it's not all, you know, I mean, that's good. Fellowship is good, but how many know that I don't know plan of God for Brother Terry? I don't know what God wants him to do. But the Holy Spirit knows. And how many know if he's talking to the Holy Spirit, why should I interrupt him? If he's fellowshipping and praying in tongues and spending a little time with God and praying out the very perfect will of God, who God was personal enough to fill him, personal enough to come and do the praying for him, and I go and interrupt him. What's the matter with me? Who am I? Do I think I'm bigger than God? And I'm not condemning anybody. You know, I mean, I understand. Hey, hi, Terry. Hey, if Terry came in the building, hey, Terry, how you doing today? Man, we're having prayer. Praise the Lord. Let's pray, brother. Glory. We start praying. Amen. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, but just sit there and, you know, next thing I know, 30 minutes went by, you know. Oh, he just prayed out. Or maybe God had a message he was trying to get to him. And I interrupted the whole thing. Terry didn't hear it. I'm not saying that he's not partly divine. You say, brother, leave me alone. I'm praying, you know, but we like each other and we should communicate and have times of fellowship. But when we have times of prayer, let's pray. Amen. I remember Pastor Dave used to say we'd have Friday night prayers. He'd say, now, if you really want to have fellowship, just call a prayer meeting. You know, and he says, now, if you're talking, you know, a whole lot, I'm going to give you the evil eye. You know, and he'd be praying. And a lot of times he'd sit on the wall and take one of the chairs and he'd lean back against the wall. And pretty soon there's a line formed about 5 or 6 people waiting to talk to Pastor Dave because they thought maybe he's got my answer. Maybe he's got some wisdom that I need. When you've got the wisdom finder right on the inside of you. The Bible says he's made unto us, Jesus has made unto us wisdom. Everything that he is in you, to you, and through you is beginning to be prayed out over your life. Every detail even. And I'm not saying, sometimes I don't hear words. Many times I've prayed in the Holy Ghost. I didn't understand why, but I just suddenly knew. It's like I knew what to do. It came up on the inside of me. Do this. It didn't come in words, but I knew what he wanted me to do. He didn't say, Doug, I don't want you to go to that bank. I want you to go to the Walmart bank. But in my spirit, it was more than that. It was more like a boom. Like a download on a computer and boom, I knew everything. Boom, I knew it and I could obey it right now. I could have disobeyed, went to the fast bank, got back to prayer because I got to get back to prayer. And that is important. But when God's telling us to do something, sometimes it's time to stop praying. Amen. What do you tell Joshua? Get up. Not time to pray. It's time to possess the land. Get up, son. And I'm not saying he's saying that to anybody, but sometimes it's, you know, we want to use prayer. We know what to do. Well, I'm going to just pray a little bit more. We already know what to do. He's already spoken to us and it's clear and we want to pray about it. Why? Because we don't really want to do what he said. See, we're kind of spiritualizing it. We want to spiritualize it a little bit. And I don't mean that in a bad way. And I mean, we are spiritual, but we kind of make it sound like, well, let me pray about that. Are you really praying about it? Or are you just trying to be disobedient and trying to cover it with my prayer? You know? Hey, I know what I should do. I need to cut that off. I got to cut that friendship off completely. I know I do. God's, you know, it's already in my heart. You know, but let me pray about it just a little more. I'm going to pray about it. Just another, you know. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fast and pray. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fast and pray. That'll change it, right? Well, and then you pray and did you know what to do before you started praying? You hear the voice of God comes and down inside you hear that. Well, yeah. Did you know what to do before you started fasting? Yeah, I did. Yeah, you have to answer honestly to God, you know. You know that he knows that you know what the right thing is to do. Amen? You know that he knows that you know what he wanted you to do. Amen? Hallelujah. And so there's not a lot left to do, but to what? Obey. See, that's sometimes we forget that we have to trust God, but we also need to obey our spirit. Be quick to obey. And some of the people that I know, we get the greatest answers to God. They'll repent just like that. And then they'll obey just like that. You said, yeah, but you know how they lived last? They repented. And they begin to obey. And God began to answer their prayer, just like that. And sometimes they'll get more answers than some people that are staying in the church and are holding something in their heart that they're not wanting to deal with, but they're praying. You say, well, they've been faithful to the church. They're so faithful. They're here every Sunday. They never miss. Look at Brother Doug. He's in that chair every week. You know. I remember when it used to bother me. I thought, Lord, how come? You know, you hear messages sometimes. Or, you know, when God calls you to preach, you think, gee, I know all those scriptures. I know everything they said, Lord. You know, what's wrong with me? You know, what about little old me? You know, what am I trying to do? Do I think I'm better than somebody else? God's already got somebody he's using. Why am I not thankful for their ministry? Why am I not thankful? See, these are the questions begin to come to me from the Lord. You see, because sometimes the enemy wants to push you forward or cause you to take steps out forward before that time. But you know what happened? I came to a place in my heart and I knew whatever God wants to do, whoever he wants to bring revival through, I want God. I don't want me. I don't have to be the person that does it. I don't have to be the one that's in the front, Lord. I don't have to preach. But when he asks me to, then I have to. Amen. I have to be obedient. And I can say, and he's saying, no, you know, you can wait a little longer. You know, and sometimes he'll make us wait a little bit. He's testing. The Bible says that he doesn't really test us, but he tries our heart. He has to know that we're going to be faithful to him. You see, I'm not faithful to any man. I love him. And I'll serve them that the Lord says to serve, even if they're not perfect. Sometimes God has set you under an imperfect person to serve them. Huh? I want you to submit to that person. Yeah, but Lord, don't you see what they're doing? Yeah, I do. You do it their way. I'm not saying if they're making you lie or something, that's different. But if they're not making you lie and all those things and you just don't like the way they're doing, or maybe they're not doing it the way you think it should be done, or maybe they aren't doing it right. Maybe they're just, you know, half doing it, but you're in charge of it. And sometimes they let you be in charge and other times they take the authority from you, or they put you in charge, but don't really give you the authority to do anything. Say, well, huh? Yeah. Sometimes that happens in life. Amen. Get a job and, you know, well, you're in charge. Well, you don't have any authority to fire anybody or do anything, you know, but okay, you know, you feel this responsibility, but you can't fix it. You know, you can't really do what you think should be done because the boss told you to do it a different way. Amen. Because we got to learn sometimes even in the natural. If we can't be obedient to the person, he said, if you can't love the brother that you do see, how are you going to love God that you don't see? Or how come I can't be obedient to the person that is in charge of me or submissive to them? How am I going to submit to the Father? You see, there's a balance in life. Yeah, we kind of, you know, when you make a commitment to a job, you ought to show up. Amen? Hallelujah. You ought to be the best worker. You know, on my job, I show up on time. If I'm scheduled, I'm always there. I did miss once. I missed 2 days. I had to call, but I called them, you know. I let them know. My wife knows why I missed 2 days. And I told her in the midst of my, I had a reaction to some penicillin that I took from my dentist. And I've never been allergic to penicillin, but I began to feel itchy all over my body. And I thought, something's not right. You know, this is really growing. I'm like, woo, man. And then it's going, I mean, down to my feet. And I thought, wow, you know. And then thank God my wife came home. I said, oh, honey, something's not right. I feel real itchy, you know. And I thought, you know, and I thought, well, maybe maybe they put the wrong medication in the bottle. You know, so I was going to go look at it. Maybe I got the wrong thing, you know, because he told me to take 4 of these pills. And I thought, wow, okay, to get started and then just take them like normal. I've done it before and no problem. But the pills weren't the problem. I feel like I got to throw. Oh, that'd be good. If I throw up, you know, I get it out of my system, that'd be good, you know. So I'm throwing up and, you know, and oh, man. And then I thought, well, I'll go in the kitchen and get me some water. Maybe I'll throw up some more and, you know, dilute it and get it out of my system. And, you know, I'll be fine, you know. So I go into the kitchen. About that time, I'm just really kind of, my wife, thank God she was home. She said, I could hear her over there in the distance. Doug, I'm leaning on the counter and just about falling over. She said, I'm getting a chair. I'm calling 911 right now. And I think I was saying to her something about take me to the clinic or something. Something like that. Just take me to the clinic. I'll be all right. She says, no, I'm calling 911. And that's the last thing I remember. You know, next thing I know, I look up, 911's there, you know, or the emergency people are there, the medics, and rushed me off to, you know, but I was fine before I got to the hospital. They gave me some Benadryl. I said, oh, if I knew that, I didn't have any on hand, you know, I'd have been all right. But praise the Lord, I was all right anyway, you know, with the, you know, and then the doctor came by. Of course, in the U.S., you know, I had to pay the bill, so that wasn't free. So he charged, I think the doctor himself charged me $900 for standing at the door and saying, is he all right? Yes, they signed me out. You know, there you go. $900, please. You're like, huh? They did reduce it for me a little bit after I talked to them. Praise the Lord. I was able to negotiate. Thank you, Jesus. You know, but still, whew. I'm serious. The doctor himself never touched me. I'm like, wow, I don't understand. I'm in the wrong business here, Lord, you know. And I'm all for paying doctors good. They do go to school. Got to remember that. They give their whole life to it. Many of them give their whole life to it, and I think they should be paid well. But, you know, I thought that was a little excessive, you know. Some of the hospitals are making a lot of money off me. You know, they're not probably not paying him quite $900 for that, you know. So anyway, praise the Lord. We got that taken care of. And I was good. I don't know why I got onto that, but I did anyhow. Because I was talking about being. Missing work. So my wife had called my boss and everything was good and great. But we should be faithful. Amen. When we have a commitment. We have a testimony, don't we? And our spirit, you know, God's not telling you to call in and stay home from work every other day. You know? Well, I'm sick. The first thing he said in Ephesians chapter 4 is to put off lying, and maybe that'll be another day. If I get invited back. I've been preaching a long time, huh? But let's see where we come back to tomorrow. Maybe we'll go a little bit further. But those are three things. Some of the traps I talked about was, you know, the physical senses. Bible doesn't say to follow them. Amen. Nowhere in the Bible it says you're led by your physical senses. We're led by the Spirit, by our new nature, and by the Holy Spirit who helps us to overcome in those things. Amen. And we talked a little bit about reasoning. We get, you know, it's one of the fallacies that we sometimes, traps that we can fall into. Our reasoning gets in mind. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't think about things. God knows we do. And sometimes he asks me questions just to get me thinking. You know, God ever ask you a question, you know? Well, why do you want to do that? Well, it's a good idea, Lord. I remember not too long ago, I'm working a regular job, but I had something on the weekend. And I was wanting to make this extra money. And I thought, boy, this is going to be great. I can make $1,500 in 2 days, 3 days. It turned out it was going to be $2,500. I thought, whoo, glory to God. This is all. This is God. And so it was like the Wednesday night before the weekend. And I'm sitting there minding my own business. Good to go to church. God's there sometimes, you know. Some churches he doesn't show up, so, but y'all are great because you bring him. Hallelujah. Amen. I knew he was here when I got here. Amen. Because you were here. You brought him. Because he lives in you. Amen. Glory. But anyway, I'm sitting there minding my own business. God says to me, he asked me this question. Are you going to run after every good opportunity or are you going to come follow me? And I knew exactly what he was talking about. You know, you want to say, I'm not sure what are you talking about? It wouldn't have done any good. I knew what he was talking about. I said, yes, Lord, I surrender. How many know it didn't take a long time? He said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Sometimes we got to surrender good things. And sometimes we have to surrender things that aren't so good on the inside of us. Amen. We got to surrender to him and to forgive and to let go. And sometimes we got to surrender to stay. Sometimes we have to surrender to go. Sometimes we have to surrender to stop. Turn around and go back where we left our first love. And the things that we did when we were really on fire when we first knew him. And how sensitive we were. We lost it. But I don't know how to get back there. I know somebody who can help you. Even if you're born again, you're saying, I'm not sure how to get back there. His name is the Holy Spirit. And he's come with a language that's perfect. That you don't have to try to figure it out. But he'll help you pray out the answer. And he'll pray you right back into the very perfect plan of God. Where there's peace. Where there's, you know, I'm not saying everything in the natural is perfect. But you got peace. Anybody ever been like in the middle of a war zone, but on the inside, hey, I got peace. I'm supposed to be here. It's okay. God's taking me through. Sometimes we're going through a battle. Okay? It's not all instant deliverance. Because if he instantly wanted to deliver us, he would have took us to heaven. This world has sin in it. All of us. Around us. And sometimes I say, well, how come that trouble's happening? Because there's sin in the world. Not everybody knows Jesus. They don't follow that. They follow the voice of the enemy. Or the voice of their unregenerate nature. And somebody trained them how to kill people. So they die. You know, and then some of it's the devil. You know, he's the god of this world system. God owns the world. The Bible says God owns the earth, but he's part of the god of this world system. And we see the whole world right now. Amen. Beginning to twirl. It says in the last days, perilous times are going to come. But don't, you know, so let's just cower down and be afraid. You know, he said, don't fear. That's something else we got to surrender to sometimes. Say, Lord, I'm going to believe you. I'm not going to fear. I'm going to trust. And I'm going to believe that my steps are ordered of God. That I'm going to be in the right place at the right time. Not sometimes, all the time. I can make the decision right. I can make the right decision, Lord. I don't care if I missed it last time or if I missed it yesterday. Or if it was last week or 6 months ago or 5 years back, I can make the right decision. You can make the right decision. Amen? If we'll follow after him. Sometimes it takes a little patience. But if we don't rush him, if we don't run off on our own, if we don't try to figure it out up here, if we don't try to follow our feelings, if we don't try to follow our body, we will follow that born again spirit. Everybody say it with me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. But I live in a body. I'm going to follow my spirit. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be in the right place at the right time. I'm going to make right decisions. And I'm going to follow God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray for a minute. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are spirits, Lord, that we're born, we're alive to you, that we know you, that we're your child, that you love us, that you love us so much, that you gave your son for us, that we might have a relationship with you, Father, that we might know you, that we might walk with you, that we might be able to follow you in your plan, your good, perfect will for our lives. We thank you, Father, and we thank you for the ability, Lord, to remember, and help us to remember, Holy Spirit, that we are a spirit first. We're alive to you, and by that Spirit, we can live. And we can move and we can have our being in you. And we don't have to be making a lot of mistakes all the time. We're getting better and better and better, Lord. And that you're bringing us through circumstance that we are in. We thank you for your grace, Father. We thank you for your anointings that destroy the yoke. We thank you, Father, for all the ability that you've placed within us. And Lord, we choose to yield to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.